Hello and welcome to the Living by Disney podcast. On today's show, 1900 Park Fair has reopened at Grand Floridian and we got a chance to check it out. We're going to give you all our thoughts. We're going to also talk about how you can get a bird's eye view of Disney World from a hot air balloon. And in our main segment, the top five overrated and underrated restaurants at Walt Disney World.
Welcome to the Living by Disney podcast. Your home for all things Orlando. News, reviews, and real talk. Helping make your visit to Disney World just a little more magical. Now, here's your host, Serena Lynn.
Hello and welcome to the show. So nice to have you. Thanks for coming back and hanging with us today. I am your host, Serena, and I've got Louisa with me.
Hello.
And I hope you're having a great day whenever you are listening to this or watching it. We do have it available in audio on our normal podcast networks. And of course, just as a reminder, we are here in video, in Technicolor. On the YouTubes. You also can watch us on video on Spotify.
That's true.
Yes. And I don't feel like I've mentioned that a lot, but Spotify has this like really cool way of doing video podcasts now.
Yeah. It's integrated and you can kind of watch it or not. Or if you're like, oh, I want to see that, you can just kind of turn your phone. But it's good. I had somebody, and people can leave comments there, or I put a poll in and I asked people how it was on Spotify, and somebody mentioned that they'd never used it before, but they were impressed.
Oh.
So if you're an Apple guy or girly, maybe try Spotify.
Yeah. You can get a free account at Spotify if you don't use it typically, but I do like that it's like you can easily go back and forth from audio to video.
Yeah.
So if you get busy or something, if you just turn the screen off, then it just switches to just audio, which is nice.
Yeah.
So check it out. See what you think. But I would appreciate you hanging with us today. We have a fun show, a lot of food talk. So if you're hungry,
synonymous
with Disney. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I know for me, when I plan vacations, I plan them entirely around food.
100%.
Like where I'm going to eat, especially snacks. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time on snacks.
That's the best. Sometimes I'm like, I know. It's really hit or miss with me if I feel like sitting down. It takes so much time. It takes like a,
I know.
It takes a more chill person to be like, we're going to spend 2 hours. Yeah. Sitting?
What? I feel like we have so many opportunities that we talk about how not chill we are. And it's funny how often that comes up.
It's just because it is really, Disney just kind of accentuates that in a certain way.
It does. But I love Disney's restaurants. And I'm, you know, we'll talk about that. But there's a couple on my list that used to be my top 10. I've talked about Disney World restaurants for years. And I've always had like my top 10 like must-dos, and a couple of them that used to be on my must-do list have dropped to my overrated.
Yeah.
And I'm very sad about it, but the people need to know.
That's right.
I need to tell you so that you are fully prepared and you know what you're booking and you make decisions wisely. So we're going to get into that. First, we're going to talk about the weekly news. So let's dive into that. All right. The big news for this week is that 1900 Park Fair has reopened at Grand Floridian. It was closed for years. It never reopened after the closure. We kind of thought it just maybe wasn't going to come back. It has reopened, but with very different characters and like kind of a whole new theme to the meal. And we tried it out and I really liked it. I'm really excited to tell you about it. So 1900 Park Fair is like the Grand Floridian, and one of the best things about it is the location. It's right there at Magic Kingdom, so everybody's going to visit Magic Kingdom, so getting that fit into your normal like touring is really easy because it's right there on the monorail. It's one stop away from the park, and it's also really nice because if you decide to start your day there, you can have breakfast at 1900 Park Fair, and you're really close to Magic Kingdom. They do breakfast and they do dinner. So originally, 1900 Park Fair was two different character experiences. The breakfast one was breakfast with Mary Poppins, and it was classic. The restaurant had like a carousel theme. Mm-hmm. So it really fit with her in her carousel, you know, sort of montage that she does in Mary Poppins.
And
she
had Victorian, her
white. Yes.
Yeah.
That white and red dress, which is just so beautiful. She was iconic. And then there was also Alice and the Mad Hatter and usually some other character that would kind of change around. That was the breakfast. And then dinner used to be the Tremaine family. So you would have Cinderella and the prince and Lady Tremaine, who was like Cinderella's stepmother, and the stepsisters, Anastasia and Drusilla. That was one of my favorite character meals of all time. And mainly because they are such unique characters. And anytime we've talked about this, villains, yes. Disney, villain, anything, we will show up for yes. it. Like having the Tremaines there and their interaction with Cinderella and the prince was priceless. So that's what it used to be. It has now reopened and they decided to go in a completely different direction with the characters and the theme. So the theme of the whole meal is called the Wishmakers Enchanted Dining. And all the characters on both meals, whether it's breakfast and dinner, are the same. So you're going to get Mirabelle from Encanto. You're going to get Tiana from Princess and the Frog. And she is in her outfit from Tiana's Bayou Adventure. So her new sort of like exploring adventure. Do they call it a safari outfit?
I don't think so because it's the not, bayou. But yeah, it is her bayou outfit. Safari.
Yes.
100%.
Yes. Very yeah. cute. Mm-hmm. And then you have Aladdin in his Prince Ali outfit, which is unique. And then you have, who's the other
one? Cinderella.
Oh, and the Cinderella, of course.
She stayed.
The icon. Yes. Cinderella is still there in her classic blue dress. So the theme of the meal is that each of these characters are the wish makers. They have all been granted wishes and had their wishes come true. And now they are hosting this meal to help the guests have their wishes come true. And when you attend the meal, when you first sit down, you're given a card that will have all of their autographs on it. But on the back, there's a blank space and they give you a little pencil for you to write down your wish. And then at some point during your meal, they'll do a little ceremony where they talk about making a wish. You know, you hear Jiminy Cricket and he talks about the power of a wish. And it's really, it's like a cute little moment in your meal.
They take for your wish to come true is for me to believe in you.
And so when the characters come around, they visit at each table. So all four of them, I think they were really good. I think all the character interactions were top notch. I think they looked amazing. I think that they had a lot to talk about. They were very chatty. They're all four very chatty characters.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of
that was a
nice.
Lot of pressure. I'm just going to tell my fellow introverts that was a lot.
Well, let me just talk about how much we struggled with it. I was not prepared. So it's been a while since I did a character meal with characters that were chatty that you talked to. The last character meal we did was Chef Mickey's.
With Chef Mickey's.
Which is just a different.
Hey.
Yeah. Let's do a little
picture. Bye. This meal, I love the theme of wishes. Mm-hmm. Very magical. Yes. I loved the little ceremony. But the theme was wishes, and so that was a topic of conversation, and that nearly sent me into a full existential crisis.
Hello, everyone. Hey. So good to see you all. Welcome. Now, you must have come here because you heard we're all about granting wishes here. Is that what
you're
doing?
Yes. Well, we just...
What were the wishes that you wanted?
Thank you. Oh. Take it away.
Well, when someone comes
Aladdin,
up... Yes.
When Aladdin is like, what is your wish? What are your wish? What are you wishing for? I was like, oh my God, I don't know.
I know. And you're thinking, it was so funny. You totally froze up. He comes up and he's Aladdin and he's in this cute little outfit and he's all like,
and he was a really good Aladdin.
He sounds amazing.
I was least excited to meet him, but he was my favorite.
He was fantastic. Yes. And Aladdin is just, he's got a lot of charm and he's very chatty. And he was like, so ladies, you know, tell me, what is your wish? And we were both just like, I don't know. You know, we're thinking like, how deep do we go here?
I know. Like, I think you said, how long do you have?
I was like, this is a big question to ask.
Deep.
In the middle of a...
We did not have any cocktails. This is just us off the cuff. We're like, yeah. Oh my gosh, Aladdin. I just realized that my life has no meaning.
Yeah. Like, I'm really going to have to get back to you on this. And I think you kind of just said, I don't know. And I was like, I said, what's your wish? And he said, oh, well,
my life is full. I have love. I have friendship.
Jeannie granted my wishes. I have everything I could want.
And then it's like, oh.
We're like, wow. No. That's so
good. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, it's really great. But then he said, but my biggest wish is to... like be here with you all.
Have all of your wishes come true.
Have all of your wishes come true. And I said, wow, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
That's good. That was really good. Prince Ali is like, he's doing the prince thing. It was that was a really good answer. Then we tried to take a selfie with them, which we are the most awkward. I don't know. I've just never been cool with characters.
I was like, and I'm just full stop. I've just never been cool.
No, but at one point, Louise is trying to pull up and get it to flip, and she can't get the thing to the camera to flip, and then it was not a photo; it was a video, which we'll have to see if you have it. We'll have to put it up here.
It's gonna just.
All right.
Oh, I did have it on video. So there we go.
Hey.
My friends. I think at some point we did a thumbs up. I think you may have done finger guns.
I did.
Like he was walking away. We're like, chi-chi. Oh, I'm sorry, Aladdin, that you had to go through that.
After all, I was like, how many characters are there at this meal? I just couldn't. My recommendation is eat as soon as you get there before the characters come. It was so fun.
They're really fun. I just think, you know, some people are really good at meeting and talking to characters, and then there's us.
It's not, yeah.
And we're not. But... it would be a fantastic one to bring your kids to. Oh, yes. And after we did this, you were like, yes, like, this would have been great. Like,
then
for kids.
Be awkward.
Yeah. We'll let the focus be on them, which is nice.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah. And Mirabelle is, can we just talk about how adorable she is? She's dancing. She's like just this little ray of sunshine.
Yes. Yes.
Loved her so much. Tiana, stunning. I know. Beautiful.
Her too. I went to. I went to take her picture and she could see that my camera was still set on selfie mode from Aladdin. And I tried to play it off and she was like, it's okay, sugar. You can do it again. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Because I was ready to just be like, nailed it. And I had not. Pretend. I had not nailed it.
Like just to get out of this moment. The cool thing is that once Tiana's Bayou Adventure is open, you'll be able to have that experience, then go dine with Tiana and talk to her about her restaurant and about Tiana's place and about Tiana's foods and all of the backstory of this ride experience. So I think it's going to be like a nice little full circle moment for the storytelling aspect on Tiana's Bayou Adventure. So that'll be nice. Honestly, I think she could have just been the host of, like, she could have hosted her own.
Yeah.
Meal and it'd been great, but and Cinderella was amazing. I mean, they were all just really, really good.
Yeah,
the food is fantastic. We did dinner and we'll go back and try breakfast, but breakfast I wanted to do dinner because breakfast is so
waffles.
Much give me a Mickey waffle, some eggs, it's fine. I've heard great things about breakfast though from the foodie people all love it, so we love that. I thought that the quality of the food was definitely like an elevated buffet. I'm not a big buffet fan. So for me to say it was good is like saying a lot because most of my favorite food experiences, and we're going to get into this in the main segment, I'm not a big fan of buffet. As soon as I feel that food has sat for any length of time, I'm like, absolutely not. But this was super fresh. They had a carving station. They had amazing meats, fantastic like sides. The mashed potatoes were amazing. The mac and cheese was so good. Yeah. The kids' food, great. Just simple, classic food. Kids are going to love. We loved the...
And on their level. I love that. That then the they nice can and low. Serve themselves.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. The gummy bear dispenser.
Oh my gosh.
Adorable.
That was adorable. I saw a little boy put gummy bears in his mac and cheese. Aww. He wasn't my kid. So yeah. I was like, yes, I love that.
I'm sure that's going to be delicious.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. They have strawberry soup, which is kind of like, that was one of the iconic foods. And the last one that they brought back, it's like a dessert soup. It's kind of hard to explain, but it was very tasty.
But it was good.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the other desserts were really good.
Oh, yeah. They had a lot.
They had like a warm chocolate lava cake.
Yeah. That had this like vanilla anglaise sauce. They had that little almond tart with sea salt and a little chocolate medallion. The food was sparkly if you are into that, which I am.
It was super cute.
Yeah. They had a basic vanilla cupcake, which I thought was very good too.
Yes.
So they had a lot of options. Mm-hmm. I was happy with dessert.
Yeah.
Plus the gummy bears.
Yeah. All you can eat gummy bears.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend it if you're looking for a new character meal experience. And because it's so new, you're probably going to find availability more than you will other character meals. Character meals are always tough to get. So because this one's new, if you're going the next 60 days, grab it now. Yeah. Really, really good.
The dining room, I had never seen this restaurant before the closure. And so I didn't have any like attachment, warm fuzzies to it. But I thought the artwork they did,
it was pretty.
Was so beautiful.
We should we'll put some up so that you can see it. Because
it was 12 portraits of characters in their wish moment. So it wasn't like, we often see artwork, I realized, in the climax, like
the happy ever after.
But this was like the moment where Snow White is wishing at the well, where Aladdin is about to pick up the lamp, where Belle is running through the field wishing for great adventure. Yes. Like there was something so beautiful about not just the paintings, but the moments that aren't normally moments that you see featured in art. I thought 100%. It was really well done.
Yeah. Whoever designed that restaurant, kudos. Love it. Fantastic. I wish they kept the carousel horses that used to be in there because I just thought they were really pretty, but I get that they're going in a different direction. So
yeah.
All right. So definitely check out 1900 Park Fair. We highly recommend it. Really, really loved it. All right. Next up, it is time for our next installment of Bippity Boppity. All right, it's time for Bippity Boppity Bougie, where we discuss the extras, the add-ons, the things that elevate your Disney experience that you may not know even are options. And today, we're talking about a hot air balloon ride, which you may have seen if you visited Disney Springs. There's a giant hot air balloon, so it is hard to miss. And it's something that they've offered for years at Disney Springs. And believe it or not, I had never done it. Every time I've tried to go, it would be canceled for weather related issues. And that's an ongoing concern with this particular thing. So it is a hot air balloon that rises. It is tethered. So you're not like free floating. It's going to be like on a large tether string that will go up. I think it was 400 feet. They said, does that sound right?
That sounds right. Yeah.
It's very tall, very high. And it goes up and then it stays up there for a little bit and it comes down. Because of that, if wind is high or if it's, you know, raining or lightning or thunder or anything like that, it will get closed. And that can make it challenging to plan. So if you want to try it, I definitely would recommend it. But just know that there's always going to be a little bit of variable. So it's called Aerofile is the name of the company. And it is a experience. It is 9:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. every day. And it's basically $30. It's $29.99 for adults and children are $24.99. And under 3 years old are free. It is really, really cool. We had the best time. We did it at night.
We tried to do it during the day, but it was so
amazing.
Yeah.
You can see everything. And if you manage to time it during a fireworks show, that would be bonus points. But I don't know. I would like to try it during the day. You're going to see more and see farther. But of course, at night, the lights are so pretty. Yeah. But definitely recommend this. I just think it's a really cool experience. Felt very safe, although the the guy who was the host was quite a character. He starts off by saying, like, you know, welcome to the Aerofile balloon. My name is Crash. We're like, cool.
Which it had been closed for wind for most of the evening most while the we day. Were there. And it actually, the sign still said closed for wind when we got on.
Yeah.
And so I was a little bit like...
He was like, it'll be fine.
It's fine. My name is Crash. What could go wrong?
I know. It was great. But no, definitely recommend it. I think that's really fun. And we did this as part of our 24 adventures in 2024. So mm-hmm. if we haven't told you guys about this, we decided to do that for this year. So we started at the beginning of the year, two things every month that we're calling an adventure because we say it is.
It is.
And if it's something new that we haven't done, it could be small, it could be big, it's an adventure. And that just makes everything more fun when you call it an adventure. And we are doing pretty well. We're going to do shortly when we get to like the full like quarter year mark, which is very soon. I think it's like 2 weeks away. We're going to do like a recap of like
need
where we're
at. A little accounting.
Yeah. This is accountability for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But we would love for you guys to do it fine. With us too.
Yes, please do. And please let us know. You can DM us or tag us or call the
let
number
us know what you're doing.
And just let us know how it's going.
Yeah, we're very curious. But I've heard from some of you that you guys are doing some different things and doing things locally, and we love to see it. It's very cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our partners, and we'll be right back. Let me just take a quick moment and tell you about our partners, Mickey Travels. They are a diamond level travel agency with Disney. They can book any Disney travel experience that you would like to do worldwide. And to get diamond level is not easy. They are at the top of their game here. And in order to get this level of experience, you're going to want to go with an agency like this. Their agents are absolutely incredible and can take great care of you, getting anything that you want booked, but also getting those prices and deals. Disney has been releasing a lot of good discounts lately, but you need to find the one that works best for you and make sure that you've got the best deal that you can, and they're going to be able to help you with that, as well as resort reservations, recommendations, dining help, and even booking these extra things like we've been talking about with the lightsaber experiences and other things like that. They can recommend all of those as well. Make sure you check them out at mickeytravels.com or check the link in our show notes. And now back to the show. All right, welcome back to the show. Let's talk about overrated and underrated restaurants at Disney World. So this is a list we've been working on for a little bit. Restaurants change a lot and ratings change and quality goes up or goes down. New things come open and then that just sort of changes. I mean, if you've got a new great option, then maybe some of the other options don't become as appealing. Most of us are only going to be able to try but so many restaurants when you're visiting Disney World. But even for us as locals, you know, there's just some that I just have no interest in going back to and some that I will gladly go back over and over again and, you know, just love them every time. Now, I will say this. There's just a slight disclaimer that reviews are by definition opinions. And these are my opinions. These are our opinions. And they may not be your opinions. And that is totally fine. And if you have different opinions or you've tried a, you know, restaurant and you had a different experience, please tell me about it in the comments. I would love to hear. I do like listen to different feedback. It always really helps me to know kind of where people are at because sometimes you get a one-off. Like you can just have a one-off experience that's really great. You just hit it right. You got the best server. You got the best chefs in the kitchen, whatever. And then other times the opposite can happen where you hit it wrong.
Yeah.
And it was just not, they were not... You know, they were not having a good day. And sometimes you just need to go back and try again.
Yeah.
Which we do, you know. And when anything's super new, I'm always going to give it a little bit of grace because it always takes a while to kind of get a groove. But we're going to start with the overrated. Now, in looking at overrated, I'm going to hone in on restaurants that I feel are thought of as being really great that I don't think live up to the hype. So I'm not going to mention restaurants that there's a lot of restaurants that we just don't hear a lot about. Nobody's really singing their praises. They're not really on any must-do lists. They wouldn't make my overrated because they're not overrated,
right?
People kind of know they don't really not really the best. So these are restaurants that typically you hear a lot about or you used to hear a lot about, and they're just, in my opinion, they're just not worth it now. They're just not worth it. So we're going to start. We have top five. So we're going to start with number five. Number five is Hollywood Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios. And I got to say, I have eaten at Hollywood Brown Derby at least a dozen times since I've lived here. And I struggle to think of one thing that I've eaten that was really like memorable. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's fine. As the kids would say, it's mid. it's fine. It's nothing is bad, but it is very pricey.
It's expensive for being fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They ranged between 33 to 49. And okay. So 49 was their steak, mm-hmm. which for Disney, I know, on a normal night, I would never pick a $49 entree, but mm-hmm. at Disney, that's like pretty middle of the road.
Yeah.
And you can get a great steak at Disney at that price other places.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And for something to just be okay.
Just fine.
They're known for their Cobb salad, which it is. It's a good salad.
But it's salad.
But it's a salad. I mean, like, if I just am like, how excited can I get for a salad? Like, if I am on vacation and I'm thinking back to, like, what were the best things I ate mm-hmm. on my vacation? A salad's not probably going to make the list. Is it a good salad? Yeah, it's a great salad. Yeah. It really is. It's got a nice little presentation to it. It's very cute. They do it tableside. But at the end of the day, there's nothing fantastic or, like, really, you know, above average. And then this, the other thing about the Hollywood Brown Derby is the theming is, it's nice, but it's not like you're going to go for the amazing atmosphere.
Right. Like, there's nothing specifically Disney about it. No. You can find that atmosphere other places if that's your jam.
Yeah. It's nice. I know that it's modeled off of a real restaurant and there's nostalgia there if that's, you know, if you're a Hollywood Brown Derby fan. But in general, There's a lot better places that I would choose, particularly even in Hollywood Studios. And that's not even a park that's super strong for food options, but there are better ones than that, in my opinion. Number four is, I don't like talking about this restaurant, not because I don't want to talk about it, but because I can't pronounce that. I never am clear. I'm never 100% if I'm saying it right.
Right. Let us know. Akershush?
Akershush. It's like Worcestershire. Like, like nobody knows how to say it.
Did you see that video? That's like, whose sister Sheree? Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it could be something really off the wall. Yes. We're going to say Akershush. Akershush.
Sure.
Yeah, that one. You know what we mean, though. Yes. This is a classic. It's been around a long time at Epcot, and it markets itself
as a, the audacity
I
of
feel
it.
Strong. This was my worst dining experience at Walt Disney World, bar mm-hmm. none, mm-hmm. and I still am upset about it. And I feel like there have been very few times I've been disappointed in the value of something. Mm-hmm. I usually feel like Disney's expensive, but you're getting a lot.
Yes.
This was robbery.
Yes. Yes.
Call the police because I was robbed at Akershus.
Akershire. Yeah, it was. It's in Norway, in Epcot. Mm-hmm. Its biggest selling point is the fact that it's a princess meal. Mm-hmm. However, it's not the only princess meal.
It is not.
And so if you've got another option for a princess meal that's actually in Cinderella's castle, already the setting is going to be better there. And then the food is much better at the Cinderella's Royal Table yes. option. So if you're going to do a castle meal or a princess meal, then you've already got a better option available to
and
you.
Don't do both because it's it's the same.
Yeah.
There's not like a princess you can only see at Akershus.
Yeah.
I believe it's hosted by Belle, mm-hmm. which Magic Kingdom, eat at Cinderella's Royal Table, go over to Enchanted Tales with Belle. Mm-hmm. Done. Belle usually doesn't come to Cinderella's Royal Table, but all of the other princesses do
yes.
go there. This is lunch and dinner. Breakfast is $55 for adults and $35 for kids. Mm-hmm. Lunch and dinner is $67 for adults. 43 for children. And let me just tell you why I don't like Akershus.
Please tell us.
Because this is a Norwegian style meal for children. Mm-hmm. The menu is Norwegian meatballs, mashed potatoes and gravy, and salmon with chicken and apples with fennel. Does that sound like a meal you're going to serve to kids? I was like, what is happening?
I mean, they unless you're blessed with a non-picky eater.
Yes.
I was not. You were not. But if you have one of those and they're great, but still, it's not going to be something a kid's going to be excited to
eat. Like, was the food fine? Sort of. I mean, I would even struggle to say fine as an adult who is an adventurous eater. Like, my comfort food is not like IKEA. Mm-hmm. So.
It wasn't actually as good as IKEA.
It wasn't.
No.
And the macaroni and cheese my kids got, I felt like it was giving Kraft, but it was the most expensive macaroni and cheese they had ever had in their little lives.
Right.
And this restaurant again is in Norway, and there is not Elsa and Anna at this restaurant, which just seems like a clear mistake.
I know.
If they were there, everything would be different. If you could have a little dining experience, because character meals are the best way to see characters. You're for eating, sure. You're sitting, you're not waiting in line, you get more interaction. It is such a good value to do a character meal, mm-hmm. but you're going to have it in Norway right next to Frozen Ever After and right next to Anna and Elsa's house, and they can't pop on over.
I know.
And come visit. Like, it would be so, it would be different if you could see them there, because they're not anywhere else. But all of the other princesses that are at this meal are other places, and
you're paying a lot for a food that's just not. You're paying a lot
for basically what feels like you could get at a popular Swedish furniture store. Yeah.
True. For a fraction of the price.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. It's just not. You feel good that you got all that out?
I'm so sorry.
You cleansed.
Like, yeah.
Cleansed it all out.
I had that's to really let good. You know. It's important.
Yes. Yeah. So. That is our number four. Number three, and we just recently did this one to recheck it, because, you know, you have to recheck sometimes, and they have made some changes with this, and so they went back to a buffet, so we tried it again, and I'm sad to say Chef Mickey's.
Chef Mickey.
Here's the thing. So, again, it's a character meal. You understand that a lot of the value that you're paying for is the character interaction. Totally get that. The problem is with Chef Mickey's is it's mediocre buffet food. It's at a high price point, very high price point. And then in addition to that, it is a very, very large restaurant. And these characters have a lot of tables to get to, and the tables are very tight packed in there. So the characters have a very tight schedule to get to everyone, because you need to be able to see all the characters in the time that you typically would dine. So they don't have a lot of time to spend with you, and you can tell they're on a time crunch, and it's very much, hey, picture, okay, bye. And it's like, you feel like you're kind of being shuffled through the numbers a little bit. And while I understand that, again, you can go and you can see the same classic characters at Topolino's Terrace, at the Riviera for breakfast, and have a completely different experience. Not only is the food going to be way better, but the restaurant is so much smaller. There's much fewer tables, and the characters are going to spend so much time with you, and you just have, it's much more relaxing. This is just, the whole feel of this is rushed. Yeah. And so we went with your kids. We went with our friend Tara and her kids. We have four little ones with us, and they liked it.
Yeah. My kids enjoy breakfast. They're easy breakfast people. And so they had like fun cereal dispensers that my son found novel. Like, as far as the actual food, I was very unimpressed by the food. Mm-hmm. They were like, this is great.
Yeah.
The food is good. But it did feel, it was everything you said. It felt very rushed, like character visit factory. And it was like stressful. I was like, oh my gosh, take the picture quick. They have to go. And that's not my vibe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, you're paying a premium for this time with the characters. So, and if this is the only option, then fine. But like, if you know that there are other meals that you could book, and get a much better experience with them. You've got Tusker House. Mm-hmm. That's another fabulous one where you're going to get the same characters in really cute outfits, and
Food is really good.
The food is much better.
The ambiance. Yeah,
the mm-hmm. setting. And they just have more time to spend with you because it's not as large of a place.
Yeah.
So Chef Mickey's, to me, I can't. It's not it for me. The food, again, the buffet food, a lot of it feels mm-hmm. like it sits there a while. It's under the heating lamps. It's just.
Yeah. And it's the same price as these other character meals. It's $54 for an adult mm-hmm. for breakfast and $66 for dinner. Mm-hmm. So there's no, yeah. It's not like you're getting any kind of savings mm-mm. for doing your meal this way. So definitely Tusker House, Topolino's Terrace is my number one.
Yes. And that one is hard to get into.
Yes.
Because it's smaller. And same with Cinderella's Royal Table.
Yes. Like, although I feel like it's changed so much since they allowed the 1 hour cancellation. Yes. That people aren't as feverish. The 2 hour
cancellation.
2 hours.
Yeah.
And they're not hoarding reservations in the same way. It feels different. I'm still studying this to report back.
But I'm seeing Cinderella's Royal Table come up on the regular. Mm-hmm. Topolino's, I think, probably is still, if I had to say, they're probably the number one most difficult to get right now.
But if it's only breakfast. If you can be last minute, I still see if you mm-hmm. check the morning that you want to go, which mm-hmm. is, as a planner, is terrifying.
Yes, we don't like that.
If you can be flexible, it's still possible.
Number two, overrated restaurants. This one moved from my top 10 must do to the overrated list, and that is Be Our Guest. And I really hate that I have to say that, because this used to be my favorite restaurant. And I still say, okay, Be Our Guest is in Magic Kingdom. It's in the Beast Castle. It's Beauty and the Beast themed. If you're a Beauty and the Beast fan like I am and you haven't been, I still think it's worth going once. It's like a one and done sort of thing because of the atmosphere. It is 100% the most magical setting. It feels like you're walking into the ballroom scene. There's the West Wing area with the Beast. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful restaurant. But they've crammed in more tables. The price points have gone up. It used to be that you could have lunch was more of a quick service pricing schedule, which was really nice. And now it's prefix. It's quite expensive. There's a lot of tables. It feels very cramped. It's very noisy.
It is loud.
It's really, really loud, it is in there. And the food is not consistent. So sometimes I've gone and what I order is good. Other times it's just not. The only thing that I really feel is outstanding is the French onion soup. That's the only thing I can think of that is like consistently really good. And then it used to be that at the end of your meal, you would get to go to the Beast Library and meet the Beast and get your photo taken with him. And he is such a rare character. It's the only place you can see him. So that was another little value on top of it. And they have not brought that back since mm-hmm. since COVID. So he will make a little spin through the area and kind of wave. I don't know kind of even what the point is to that, because you can't talk to him, interact with him, take photos, anything. So you're just like, oh, there's the Beast. And that's it. So it, again, lost value to me.
Right. It's $70 for an adult, which the difference of that $4 really, really hits. Like $70 just feels like a lot. It is an amazing atmosphere, but again, loud.
Yes.
I brought my in-laws there and
they weren't a fan.
They're not like Disney people. So mm-hmm. it was already, but I thought that the atmosphere, the food was fine. And it was just so busy that it's hard to enjoy. It's still really beautiful, but
So again, if you've never been, you're a big Beauty and the Beast fan, I still say it's worth once. Mm-hmm. And then you might, not try it again. But if you've done it in the past or none of this is like really appealing to you, it's a skippable restaurant. It's overrated at this point.
Yeah, again, Cinderella's Royal Table maintains the castle dining.
Yes, you have the castle experience, you have the characters, and you have better food.
Yeah.
So, and you're in the iconic castle. I mean, absolutely. Okay. Number one, overrated restaurant. Again, used to be on my top 10 must do. Overrated now, California Grill. This restaurant has been, I think on any, if you Google best restaurants at Disney World, most lists are going to say California Grill. But at some point years ago, I think it was 2021, they went to a prefixed meal process or meal pricing. And it's now, it's $89, y'all. $89 for dinner. That's a small appetizer, a small entree, and a small dessert. The portions are smaller. It's the style of food. And it's just not worth it. The last couple of times I've eaten there, I'm like, it's $120 a person. Like, you're not getting out the door for less than that. And if you want to enjoy wine, it's going to be more than that. And it just wasn't great. Like, I didn't even, like, not even was it not amazing. It wasn't even good. My steak was overcooked. It was a little bit tough. The sides looked like they had sat a while and were soggy. The appetizer wasn't great. The dessert looked like it was all prettiness and no real flavor. The service was like not, I mean, just nothing about it has been great for me the last like five times I've been.
Yeah.
So I have to say this one to me is way overrated. You can have better dining experiences in a lot of other places. If you want an upscale meal type of atmosphere, you can have much better meals other places.
Yeah. A lot of people go here for the view. So the California mm-hmm. Grill is on the top floor of the Contemporary and they have viewing platforms, mm-hmm. Viewing areas yeah. where you can see the fireworks mm-hmm. and they pipe in the music and it's really pretty.
It's beautiful.
But you can see the fireworks from other places in the Contemporary. Mm-hmm. And also, so if you do want to go there, if you dine there anytime during the day, you can bring your receipt back and they'll let you up for the fireworks. And it's like a private, they mm-hmm. keep it just to the people who have eaten there that day, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Yeah.
They have a free and not as high platform on level 4 of the Contemporary, but also you could go to the California Grill and try to time it and sit at the bar and have like one drink and still mm-hmm. get to enjoy the fireworks that way if that is your reason for dining there.
Yeah, and save yourself a lot of money.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that is our overrated. I would love to know if you agree, disagree. Let me know. Now, let's talk about underrated restaurants. So this one is more fun to me. These are more of the hidden gems. These are the ones that somehow fly under the radar for people and you need to know about them because most of these are either really good value or they're really pretty easy to get in. And that's an amazing thing because when you have so many restaurants that are so hard to get into, it's nice to have a few in your back pocket that are like last minute or just easy to sort of like do on the fly. So number 5 for underrated restaurants is Steakhouse 71. So we were just talking about California Grill at the Contemporary Resort and how it's got this great location. Well, Steakhouse 71 is also at the Contemporary Resort. It's at the lower floor and it opened, I have to check. I think it was 2022.
Something like that. Like 2 years recent-ish. Ago. Seems right.
Yeah. And they remodeled it. I will say the atmosphere is not anything great. It's fine. It just looks like a standard restaurant. It's not super Disney. There's some nice little pictures when you go in, but overall it's, you know, the theming is not like amazing. You're not going there for the atmosphere, but what it doesn't have an atmosphere, it makes up in really good quality food at a reasonable price. It's got one of my favorite breakfasts and it's got one of the best burgers on property. It's got amazing desserts. It has a huge chocolate cake. The other thing I love about this place is the location. It's right there at the Contemporary Resort. So it's super easy to take that monorail over, or you can start your day there at breakfast and you're right there by the Magic Kingdom, which is awesome. I highly recommend it. And I feel like it's just one of those things that stays under the radar. A lot of locals go there because it's a great place to get those last minute reservations.
Okay. So this cake is a 15 layers of Jack Daniel's infused decadent chocolate cake, chocolate mousse and raspberries. And it's $13.
So. Yes. And it's huge. It's huge. Like 4 people could share it. It's amazing. I'm telling you, this place is good. I have had a solid meal experience every time I've been there. You can get in at the super last minute. It does breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Try it. It's a great, great option. Number 4, Shiki Sai at Epcot.
Yes. So this also opened, I want to say, last year.
Yeah.
And last summer.
Yeah, very new.
And so it's pretty new, and I still feel like, I think what happened is a lot of media went there, and they have some outrageous, it's either $100 or $300 sushi boat. Mm-hmm. And everybody wrote about the sushi boat, and I don't know if that scared people, but it's a reasonably priced restaurant. Everything in Epcot has changed since they brought back the program where everybody who's working at this restaurant is actually from Japan. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you're not even at Epcot anymore. It's in a really beautiful location, kind of on the second story of the Japan Pavilion. And so you can have a really beautiful view of the lagoon while you're dining and the ball. But the food was just really, I had just gone to Japan last summer and I thought the food here was excellent. The dining experience was excellent. They kind of based the menu, it changes around the seasons in Japan, not here in Florida. And so, and they base it around festival celebration food, celebrating the seasons in Japan. And so it's a rotating menu. And we had some of the cocktails and they were really solid, but the food was very reasonably priced to me. They had a kid's bento box, which I got as my entree because it was so big. And they have this Japanese style fried chicken that you can get as an appetizer, but it came a piece of this fried chicken and salmon, and there was some sushi in this bento box. It was huge. My kids could have never finished it, but there was a little bit of something for everybody. And I kind of asked sheepishly, I was like, can I get the kids? And they were like, of course. And it was so good.
Awesome.
But I went with my mom and sister, and we tried the sushi. We tried this really cool, it was like a tableside preparation of this crispy rice. So it was like a little bit dinner and a show kind of vibe, but so easy to get in. And I have not done this yet, but if you schedule your meal during Luminous and you sit up there and have your amazing Japanese meal while the fireworks are going on, that is the move.
Yes, that is amazing. Yeah. And I think too, it's nice if you see it is listed as a sushi restaurant, but there's a lot more than sushi.
Yes.
So if you're not a big sushi fan, there's a lot of things that you could have there. Mm-hmm. And I think too, just the atmosphere, it's like, it's calming.
Yes.
So I feel like when you're in like the hustle bustle of Disney, it's like that nice, like.
Yes, 100%. And that is my vibe. It was like quiet, peaceful, Zen. Grounded, gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, perfect little playing. Oasis. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you just feel like it's a nice little getaway.
And this is not to be confused. We posted a video on TikTok about this, and there is some crazy expensive Japanese restaurant
in
Japan.
It's Takumi Tai, I think it's called. And that's,
very, very different dining experience. And this is a different restaurant.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people.
I think they're
people,
getting confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Shiki Sai, check it out when you are at Epcot. It's always got availability, almost always. And of course, we're talking about it now. And we had a couple videos go big with it. So sorry, but get in on it now.
Yeah.
But we tell you that to say it's really a good, and I like it with so many restaurants becoming more of like a prefix meal. I love being able to choose a la carte.
Yes.
Because I snack a lot when I'm at Disney, so I don't necessarily want a big meal every time, and I don't always know if I'll want it when I book it. So
exactly.
I like being able to opt for like an appetizer or something smaller.
Because sometimes you just need an air-conditioned break where you know you could sit down and maybe share an appetizer and you just want a place to sit. And so when you have a regular menu, you can do that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Number three, underrated restaurant, Skipper's Canteen at Magic Kingdom in Adventureland. This one just consistently is under the radar, and I don't even know why. Like, it's so good. It's the technical name is the Jungle Navigation Company Skipper's Canteen. I think that's it. It's a really complicated name, but Skipper's Canteen is what we'll call it. It is in Adventureland, and it's the one that's themed off of the Jungle Cruise. And so the idea is that the Jungle Cruise skippers come over and they work shifts over at the canteen, and that this is where they are gonna, like, it's like their little mess hall every area. There are tons of hidden Easter eggs in the restaurant. We actually did a video on it, so I'll try to remember to link that for you guys if you're interested in kind of deep diving into it. But the food is amazing. It's also a la carte, so you can kind of choose how much you want to order. There's many entrees that are very shareable. It's one of the few places in Magic Kingdom you can get beer or wine or cocktails, which is sometimes a nice thing. And I think the food is amazing. I also love the fact that the servers have the skippers, like the corny jokes. They're always kind of, I'm usually like late to the joke. So like, I feel like by the time they walk away, I'm like, oh, I get. But yeah, but it's really, really fun. And I highly recommend it. And it's also really easy to get a reservation. It's just one of those that for some reason, I don't know, people don't remember it's there.
I feel like every time I'm standing next to Sunshine Tree Terrace, I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, there's a restaurant. Yeah. It's a whole restaurant right there.
Yeah.
Right across from the treehouse. Yeah. So definitely put that one on your list, especially if you're looking for a Magic Kingdom restaurant and you're having trouble getting into some of the more popular places there. That's honestly one of my favorite places to eat at Magic Kingdom. And so number two in underrated restaurants is Splitsville. I think this is going to surprise a lot of people because it sure surprised me. Yes, it's a bowling alley in Disney Springs. That seems completely crazy, but I'm telling you, don't sleep on this place. It is one of the best hidden gems in all of Disney World. Splitsville has an amazing menu of really like a huge variety of foods and some of the best food that I've had at Disney World, including cocktails. They have lunch and dinner. It's really easy to get a reservation. You do not need to bowl to eat there. It's like it's a restaurant and a bowling alley. So it does both together. There's also an outside bar area that kind of wraps around that whole building in Disney Springs. So if you're just looking for a place to go and get a quick cocktail, that's a great place to do it. They have pizza there that's fabulous. We love the pizza. They're sort of like a flatbread pizza. The sushi is amazing. I can't, it's like a bowling alley sushi. Like, I feel like that is like what not to do. Like, don't order sushi from a bowling alley. But I'm telling you, it was so good. I'm trying to remember. We had, so I love the Aloha roll. There's a crab rangoon roll that's amazing. Crouching mm-hmm. Dragon and the volcano roll. I'm going to put some video up so I can show you guys some of what we tried. It was so tasty. They have an amazing burger. They have sliders. They have full-on entrees. There's a tuna poke bowl that's amazing. There's steak and fries that are really good. And the desserts are fabulous, too. They do a tableside root beer float, which is just kind of fun.
Yeah.
And the cocktails were delicious, too. My favorite cocktail was the key lime cocktail. It's like key lime pie in a cocktail. And the top is topped by, like, the almost meringue that's on top of the key lime pie. It was so good. So good. Do not sleep on this place. I'm telling you, some of these sushi rolls are huge and they're under $20. The prices are really fantastic. If you're going to Disney Springs, Splitsville, I'm telling you. If you go, if you try it, tag me. I want to know what you think because I just feel I've got to do a social media post on it to talk about it too. But you guys are hearing it first, so.
Man, I'm getting hungry.
Yes, I know, right? Definitely try it. All right. The number one most underrated restaurant at Disney World. Now, people who are aware of this one, I know, a little drum roll. People who are aware of this, they don't want me to tell you.
Oh, the hate is coming.
They don't want me to tell you.
We don't gatekeep here.
We don't. I'm sorry. Like, I'm here to help y'all. I'm here. Yeah, that's my job. And I'm not keeping this to myself. And you need to know about it. It is called Sebastian's Bistro. And if you haven't heard about it, let me tell you about it. So it is at Caribbean Beach Resort, which is on the Skyliner. So it's very accessible from any of the Skyliner resorts as well as Epcot and Hollywood Studios. So if you can get to the Skyliner easily, you can get to this restaurant easily. Sebastian's Bistro is like, it's like Ohana level food for much cheaper priced. It doesn't have the atmosphere of Ohana, but it definitely has the food quality. So it is $38 for an all-you-can-eat family style meal, which again, amazing. Let me tell you, let me just read to you. I'm gonna put some of the things up too. But they starts off with house-baked pull-apart rolls that have a guava butter and a caramelized onion jam on it. Then you get a taste of the Caribbean, which is your main entree. And it's this giant platter that has citrus chicken, slow-cooked pork, with mango, like a mango topping. There's grilled chili rubbed beef with a mojito relish and baked fish. Then you get the sides, and the rice they have there, it seems ridiculous. It's just rice, but it's a cilantro rice and beans, and it is so, so good. I'm telling y'all. But then the pièce de résistance is they have a house-made coconut pineapple bread pudding with caramel sauce and vanilla ice cream. It is every bit as good as Ohana's famous bread pudding. And you can get this entire meal. You're going to be stuffed. It is so much food. It is absolutely delicious. You can always get in this restaurant. There's always availability. It's conveniently located. And somehow people are not hearing about this restaurant or knowing that it even exists. So if you want a true hidden gem, Sebastian's Bistro is the one. It's themed after Sebastian the Crab from Little Mermaid, but it's kind of subtle. There's like a few little references to him in the restaurant. Like I said, the atmosphere is nothing. It's fine. It's like fine, but it's nothing like amazing. But the food, I am telling you guys, it is amazing. So definitely try that one if you haven't. If you have tried it, let me know what you think. If you do try it, please tag me and let me know, because I would love to know your thoughts on it. And that is my list. So those are our 5 underrated, 5 overrated. Now we've given you some options to maybe give you some new restaurants to try next time you go. There's so many to choose from, y'all. There's so many good places to eat at Disney World. Like, I literally have made myself hungry with this list, but there's a ton of places. And now you have the new place at 1900 Park Fair.
That's right.
That one, I would probably put that in my top 10 now, honestly, especially since a few have dropped off my list.
Yeah. So space has become available.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. There's vacancy now, but yeah, there's some really great ones. And at some point I've done a top 10 must-do restaurants list about a year ago, but we need to update it. So we'll follow up with that. And if you guys have anything that you would add on your must-do restaurant list, leave me a comment and let me know. If you're watching this on YouTube, or even if you're not watching this on YouTube, you can still go over to YouTube and leave me a comment and let me know what you think of these options and what you would add to the underrated and overrated list. And that's going to do it for us. We appreciate you watching. Appreciate your support here. If you know anybody who likes Disney stuff, share the show with them. That helps us tremendously. Like, that word of mouth is always the best way to grow online. And if you are enjoying the show and you know somebody else likes Disney, they probably would like the show too. So give it a share. And don't keep it to yourself. And we appreciate you hanging out with us today. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.